Hey, Starting Nine listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequilacation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard seltzer beverage company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Sorry it was late this week. Dallas appears to be in the room that they caught Osama bin Laden in. I don't know where exactly you are geographically. Are you even allowed to share your geographical location?
I'm off the grid. Mm-hmm. I'm off the grid. Yeah, as far as me being able to disclose exact coordinates right now, there's probably people that wouldn't appreciate that, and I'm not looking to raise any red flags. So right. I am here in America, on my way back to Southern California eventually.
Yeah, I can't even say like that this trip is you becoming one with Mother Earth, because I feel like you do that every day.
Oh yeah, we've been there. I mean,
we've
been there. I am firmly rooted in Mother Earth, dude. Yeah, I've been in Humboldt, and it has been absolutely incredible from the minute we crossed county line to the minute we set foot in the earth in Humboldt. Like, it was just fucking incredible, dude. It was great. Pull off the side of the road, and you're not hearing traffic. That hum you hear, that's white water raging down the river. I'm like, Jared, I posted a video this morning of a fucking bald eagle attacking a herd of seagulls just above a family of river otters crushing abalone on their bellies for a morning snack. Like, that's just the kind of shit that's rolling around in the Emerald Triangle, my friend. How do you want to leave that? Are you kidding me? And then on top of that, think about getting your mind right, walking down the pier, taking in a little of that action. Yeah, you want to go back to skyscrapers? Oh, let me go stare at the Flatiron Building from the 13th floor of this shit fucking hostel that I'm staying in called New York City. Fuck that. Yeah. Give me Mother Earth in all her glory and let me soak every bit of it up.
I mean, that's, if we're being honest, both of those scenarios sound like a nightmare to me. I don't think I'd want to partake in any of them, but I mean, the way that you describe the little nature mental vacation that you've been on, if I had to pick one, I'd probably pick that. I just don't know how. I don't know how much like hiking I would want to do. Well, I don't know.
You don't have to. So hiking's a part of it. Sure, hiking's a part of what you're going to do. Like, you got to get mobile when you're dealing with countryside like this, Jared. You have to be able to get to it. They can't just drop you on it right there. So yeah, it's a nice little hike to a beach that has some of the most incredible cave systems, underwater cave systems. Ooh. Like, you're walking from one side of the beach around the point of a mountainside to another. Like, it's just, if you want to see the beauty, you got to bleed a little for it. But the exchange, man, is like, to watch my daughters do the hike that we did down to one beach and see the stuff that they were seeing that they're not used to seeing out here in Southern California. Oh, it's, you know, flat beach, cool, that's great. And they've got some stuff out in SoCal too, but nothing like the North, nothing like the PNW, man. And
how close is civilization?
Not close. Like, you're down a mountain, and then there's a lot of time that it could, depending on where we were at, not close.
But I see you have electricity.
Yeah, but they have solar panels, and that's part of, like, you know, off the grid living here, is you're utilizing every bit of what Mother Earth has to provide, and you are trying to harness it somehow, some way. You're trying to put a saddle on Mother Earth and rein her into a point where you can benefit from what she's offering. The best part about that, Jared, is when you are around a full entire community of people who operate that way, it's a completely different vibration in the world you're moving around in. Things that matter to those people just aren't even on the radar of other people, like in a city environment. Like, the idea of traffic, like six or seven people in the same lane at the same time is like the biggest traffic scene you're ever going to come across. Like, the idea of like utilizing your horn, your horn to honk at somebody out of anger. Like, no, the horn is meant to get somebody's attention 400 yards over there in the middle of their field as you're driving by. Hey, hey, who was that? Was that Jeff? Yep, sure was. And you keep going. It's just a different, it was a much needed mental reset, my man. Fucking incredible.
How long before you just pick up and move out there and never to be heard or seen again?
I can disclose this much. There's been heavy meetings with realtors up there, Jared, that have surpassed the meetings I've had with the realtors on the East Coast.
Yeah, I can see you doing that. I can see you just picking up and being like a dude that lives under like a waterfall.
My wife is very scared of that because she's trying to remind me that Dallas, we have two children. Like what you want to do and how you want to go and live. Like we've got some other folks we got to consider here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But,
I mean, look, distance learning, we can nail that.
Yeah. Yeah. You can. Yeah. They'll be homeschooled and they'll come out perfectly normal with Professor Dallas downloading all of his fucking theories into their brains as their only source of information. Yep.
Yeah. But it was great, man. I did. I got to go up there. I got to see all the homies from Canadips. Those guys are phenomenal. Took me around. Got to check out, I mean, just absolutely everything from inception to what they've got going now. Obviously meeting a ton of other people in the community. But yeah, dude, like you want to talk about, like I felt like Augustus Gloop. I felt like Charlie in the Chocolate Factory. Like you legitimately, if you've ever wondered what the end of the rainbow looks like, if you ever want to know what's in that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, Humboldt County can provide.
Love that. Love that for you, Dallas. I'm happy for you.
Oh, thank you.
So I'm assuming that you weren't able to consume any college baseball while you were on your little,
No, minimal. Like, I tell you what, like, the cool thing about coming down the hill when you get into a part of reception is, you know, your phone blowing up and you get all these, you know, all the messages and alerts from the day or whatever.
Yeah.
So I did. I caught the, you know, Texas Tech. They're dropping bombs, walk-off style. That got me excited.
I mean, back-to-back-to-back home runs to win a baseball game.
To call it, right.
Yeah. So, there's this little saying, right? You can watch baseball on any given night for 50, 60, 70 years, and you could still see something that you've never seen before. I've been watching baseball for north of two decades, and I've seen back-to-back-to-back-to-back home runs, but I've never seen back-to-back-to-back home runs with the last one being a walk-off home run.
Yeah, that is stylish. Like, that's why they say when you show up to the ballpark, you just never know, like you said, because – sure, you've seen three in a row. You've seen four in a row. But have either of those been to win the ball game? Obviously come from behind fashion. And I always have to inject this little part of the excitement and the noise around college baseball, the hoopla. Like, if you can think about what those dugouts are like that half inning before the first pitch has been thrown of that half inning, one team is going, bro, we are outs, literally three outs away from putting this in the book. It's a done deal. And the dudes on the other side are going, bro, this can't happen. We're three outs away from getting packed up and sent. Like, no, 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 no. Each one of us has to move the line, pass the baton, have that AB. And that AB turns into a homer. We're two closer. That next AB turns into a fucking homer. Uh-oh, we're right there. The third one, we're going home? Like, my God, the shift of emotion? Incredible.
What was the craziest thing that you saw as a college baseball player?
Oh, man.
On the field.
Like, on the field, I don't know if it was necessarily a play or actually, you know what? I can give you two. A play and just a performance, I guess. The play would be Cody Fuller, our center fielder, who was also an outstanding wide receiver on the football team.
Mm-hmm.
He made a play like Jim Edmonds style.
Ooh.
Over his, like directly over his head though. And he dove fully extended. And the first part of his body that hit the wall was his head as he is laid out laterally. completely parallel to the Earth.
He's lucky so he didn't fucking paralyze himself.
You're absolutely right, Kravis, but he's a fucking savage with a neck on him the size of a bull because he played football as well and was just an absolute All-American stud. He wasn't an All-American football player. He was just an All-American guy.
He's just an All-American guy.
Yeah, just don't go looking up his actual All-American status. You're not going to find it. But just a quality human being. Quality, and he did, like, he was our center fielder, and he would just, that's why you loved him in center field, obviously, yeah, with that football mentality, like run through a wall, dive through a wall, whatever you need to do to get to the ball on the other side of it, he'll do it.
And were you pitching when this happened?
No, I wasn't pitching, but we were just all like, I don't know that I've ever seen a human body take off the way he did, track it the way he did. And it's like the last 5 seconds of the ball, he never even saw, like head down, just ran to a spot, laid out, full on dome right into the wall, rolled around on the dirt for a little bit, and then, you know, kind of seized up and then popped up like, yo, what's good? Caught it.
We're good.
But yeah, that was 2 feet, 1 foot, whatever. You are golden. And then the other performance was probably, I want to say it was Wade Townsend, Rice against my Texas Tech Red Raiders in the 04 Minute Maid Classic. I believe Wade Townsend pitched 5 innings and had 14 punchouts or 13,
ooh,
13 or 14 punchouts.
Yeah, some of these strikeout numbers are fucking wild.
Just embarrassed us. And he only went 5 innings. So, like, you know, he accumulated 15 outs and 13 to 14 of them were strikeouts. Like,
yeah.
And we had fucking All-Americans on our squad just getting undressed. And you could hear him plant, like him and Jeff Niemann. Those two dudes were on the same staff at the same time. If you folks remember Jeff Niemann, just a massive human being. And it sounded like two Clydesdales pitching out there. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I just remember seeing that dude like, that's what it would look like if I went back and played Little League right now. This is fucking insane.
So I was in New York in the Barstool office on Monday. And I think it was KFC. They came up to me and he was like, so you don't really like college baseball, right? Like, this is just like a social media strategy that you guys are doing. And I was like, no. And I explained it to him.
Not everybody's as transparent as a bottle of fucking Windex.
Yeah. Like I explained to him like the Jack Leiter story. I was like, you know, the Red Sox suck. They have the fourth pick. So, you know, you start looking at some of those picks and then I've discovered Jack Leiter. And then you start watching Vandy and then you discover Kumar Rocker. And then you just start watching college baseball. Like, you just get sucked into it. So I was trying to say, like, you know, like, would you rather watch spring training baseball where the stars are gone by the third inning and they're not applying max effort? Or this time of the year, would you rather be watching these college baseball athletes competitively go head to head at each other's throats? And like, it's do or die every game. Like they're going balls to the wall. And we're also at a point now where some of these fucking guys, like, they're talented enough to be playing in the big leagues. Only they're playing actual competitive baseball right now versus the spring training baseball that, like, first of all, MLB doesn't even fucking broadcast these games. Like, as a Red Sox fan, I've probably watched 2 spring training games. Like, none of them are on fucking TV. Like, what are we doing here?
That's a conversation that a lot of us broadcasters are having together offline. Like, you know, and you do, you get the group chats going so you can exchange info and talk about stuff that's happened in conversations you might be having offline with guys, because on the whole, you're not able to catch your squad. Like, at really any point in time, it seems like there's going to be a handful of broadcasts you're going to be able to watch. So that's brutal. And when you think about it like this, college teams right now are playing those college kids. Some of them are going to be a part of your organization's future, potentially, as you've noted. That's why guys like Leiter and Kumar are on your radar.
Yeah.
So in a time where the baseball you would be watching isn't competitive, you're also looking forward to your organization's future.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the draft hasn't happened yet. So how do you do that? You watch the kids that will be a part of that pool get after it right now in meaningful environments,
yeah,
leading into the biggest tournament of the baseball season, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's got one. So here's ours. Here's the collegiate baseball worlds coming up. They got the tourney of 64 on deck, and you have got to be dialed in watching that if you want to have any idea of what the fuck's going on when it's tourney time.
Yeah, and like that narrative. I mean, some of it is still true.
Let me say this. The guy's a terrible baseball fan of a team that has been terrible for a while. How is he not understand? Oh, you know what? If I'm going to talk all this shit about a baseball team and have any clue about what's going on and where they're headed, I could probably pay attention to what's going on in their potential future.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, the narrative that you know, why the MLB draft isn't as popular as the NFL draft is because the NFL draft, you draft a guy and like he's probably on your team that year. Like,
instant impact.
He just goes right in and he's the guy.
That's
you
the
draft
word.
A quarterback. Impact. That's the quarterback of the future. You draft a shortstop and then everyone's like, but wait, like if the Yankees drafted a shortstop during the Derek Jeter era, it's like, oh my God, first round pick is a shortstop. Does that mean that they're getting rid of Derek? It's like, well, no, like you might be able to switch him to second base, or maybe he becomes a center fielder, or maybe he becomes great. And then you trade him for a starting pitcher. He's the frontline prospect in a major blockbuster deal for an ace or something like that. So it's different with baseball. But another of the other criticisms was that, you know, you have the first round of the MLB draft and then you get past, I don't know, the first two names. And then you're like, I don't know who any of these people are. Well, guess what? Find out who the fuck they are by watching college baseball. Like there's
about the people who get all excited about the D tackle from Northern Iowa Jesuit Community College Baptist Central, right? Why do you know about that guy? Well, because you're just your balls deep in your sport. Your balls deep in the ranks of his impact and what it's going to mean for whatever team could be drafting him. So
look at Garrett Crochet,
right?
It's like you can I think I forget he didn't go to like a huge school, I don't think. So I don't know that he would. Where did he go? Was he FSU? No. I don't remember where he went, but it wasn't like in like a big SEC school. He went to he went to Tennessee. Okay. Yeah.
You're the only ten I see.
Shout out Big T. He was on the latest episode of Are You Smarter Than a Big Leaguer?
Shout out Lofty.
He went to Tennessee?
He's a big Tennessee guy. Huge Tennessee guy.
Huh. Anyway. Yeah. I've seen him wear the hat.
Yeah. He hasn't taken it off. It looks like he's been wearing it since 84.
Right. Lofty two tunes. But yeah, you can see a guy get drafted and then pitch in the fucking postseason.
Joey Devine. Joey Devine is a guy like, and who else? Brian Finnegan. For the Royals. Like, these are dudes who were drafted, played college baseball. They were in the college baseball tournament. And they were like, you know what? I think I'll just go to the big leagues after this. College was cool. Next stop, the show.
Yeah. Next stop, October postseason.
But then you also, and you always have the Mike Piazza example, right? So for every first rounder that was supposed to be the next coming and the saving grace of every organization that selected them with their first pick, for every guy like that that did not work out, there's a guy who was drafted in the 9,000th round and pans out to be the best offensive catcher the game has ever seen.
Yeah.
So the game of baseball, just more so than I think some of the other sports like football and NBA, it does lend itself to guys who have different skill sets get opportunities. Like in football and basketball, there's some things that you can just do well, and there's not many other things that get graded or valued, right? Big, strong, fast, they got a spot for you on the gridiron. Tall, can shoot, whatever those two, whichever one of them, we'd probably find somewhere for you on the hardwood. Baseball doesn't care how big you are, how strong you are, how fast you are, how short you are. It doesn't care. It wants you to apply your skill set to the game, and let's see how that unfolds.
Yeah. We've mentioned him before. Arkansas finally lost the game, by the way, last weekend. Sucked.
Oh, tough break for you. Sorry.
Yeah, not great. But Jackson Wiggins hit 100 on the gun. He's a freshman, a true freshman. He had 100 on the gun this past week. So that's the type of shit you're seeing in college now.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, okay. They're like, I remember when I was in college, it's like, yeah, you know, you might see maybe see high 80s. And if someone touched low 90s, you'd be like, oh, fuck, this guy's going to the show. Well,
that's why.
What? Now they're blowing 100 in college.
That's why Jeff Niemann and Wade Townsend were just, like I said, Clydesdales for that Rice team in 04, because Jeff Niemann is, he's 6'6", 6'7", whatever he is. Fucking almost 300 pounds. He's like 250 out there blowing gas.
Yeah.
No shot.
Mass equals gas, baby. You know that.
Shot.
Yeah.
We got a little season preview action, promise?
Yeah, we got a little season preview action, but let me see. Where were we at? Oh, we're at number 8. We're going backwards. We're going backwards. We're going to start with the Mets today. How do you feel about that?
I feel fine. I feel fine about that. I feel like it's a pretty easy – and remember, we're trying – one thing about
just
these
one.
Teams.
Just one. Just one.
Just one thing.
One
so
thing.
I'll start – I'm going to go here.
Where are you going to go?
I have three names written down.
Okay. Give me all three.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Just
because
one. Give me just one.
Just one, because I'm going to say McCann.
Why?
I'm going to say McCann.
Out of all the things you could talk about on the Mets, that's where you're going?
And here's why. Because I've talked a lot about the relationship and the impact of a catcher more so than some of the other guys that a team can bring in. And why McCann? Well, he was identified early. Why McCann? Because he is that catcher that now has to get familiar with an entirely new rotation and bullpen. And out of all of the additions that they've made, out of the Strohs, the Lindors, like, who's the guy that's going to impact any of those guys more so? And I think it's McCann, because he'll be handling Stroman every fifth day. He'll be handling the other guys in between, and he'll also be required to, you know, produce offensively himself. But just as far as, and again, this is me not going to the easy Lindor approach or not to the easy Stroman approach. Like, this is just me thinking, if we watch him and he has the year that I think the Mets want him to have and shows what the Mets think they have in him, then I think we're going to see a big impact in places where you just might not have thought it could show up.
Literally, as we just began our Mets discussion, I just see this pop up. Mets make initial extension offers to Lindor and Conforto.
Ooh, there you go. Well, we were just talking about that yesterday
in clubhouse,
on the clubhouse.
Yeah.
On whether or not they're going to get those things done when they should. Maybe that's the approach you want to take here, Jared, but I just wanted to keep it stupid simple, simple for a stupid guy like me, and tell you, watch the backstop that they just went out and got, and let's see what kind of impact he has on the staff that they need to click and on a bullpen that they're going to need help from.
Yeah, no deal is close with either player at this time.
Understood.
Fact,
that's just
I mean, you've got to throw a feeler out there first.
Yeah, that's the IPO. That's their initial public offering.
There's a couple different directions that I would like to go here, but I think I'm gonna end up landing on Marcus Stroman.
Oh,
I'm gonna end up landing on Marcus Stroman. So before he accepted the qualifying offer to return to the Mets, I tweeted something of the effect of like, teams that weren't in on Stroman this offseason are going to wish that they were after they see what he does in 2020. And that was before I saw the videos of this fucking split change that he's been working on. And I see him, you know, the Pitching Ninja videos of Stroman out there actually using this pitch against major league hitters. It's pretty disgusting. It like, it tails left to right and dives at the same time. It's fucking crazy. Like,
well, that's like, if you go back, you want to know what the pitch sort of profile is like, less velocity.
What?
Think about the rocket, my man.
Oh, what? Splitter?
That thing, like, how it, I mean, the fork just flunk,
yeah.
Gone. Same sort of action. Not quite the velocity, obviously. I'd have to go back and look at the actual, like, I'd be interested to look at those pitch profiles.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's got more, left to right movement than any pitch I've ever seen. So we'll see. I mean, the clip of him going up against Soto on Thursday was very funny. I mean, like, those two dudes were smiling at each other. I mean, you can do that stuff in spring training, but I feel like they would have done the same exact thing during the regular season. Like, I think it's Stroman. Just, I think because he responded.
Those are two showmen right, yeah. There. That's like those matchups. Those are the marquee. Don't leave your seat. Stop where you're doing. pee down your leg if you have to, so you can get that AB in your life.
Yeah. And like Stroman tweeted about it after, and he was like, I'm going to tell my kids someday that I got to face Juan Soto. He's like, that dude has no weaknesses, and that's what makes it fun. Like, I'm sure there are some pitchers out there, they're like, fuck, I got to face Juan Soto. Like, this sucks. Then you have Marcus Stroman being like, I welcome the challenge of it because he doesn't have any weaknesses. So like, that's the fun part, is like, how do you get a guy out that doesn't have any weaknesses?
That was the best part for me, Jared. My mindset was like, I'm being ran out here like somebody's little brother against all these fucking savages. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I am here for the challenge. Like, it almost feels like when you go against a dude like that, the scale is not tipped in your favor. So you know what? If that's the case, let's roll, big dog. Roll up them sleeves. Let's get to work.
Yeah. I'm just excited to see what it feels like a rejuvenated Marcus Stroman this year. I mean, like, obviously the split change is intriguing because it's like, oh, what the fuck is a split change? And then you have health being a big factor for him, where last year, you know, he opts out and everyone's pissed off. It's like, oh, we traded all these prospects for you, and then you opt out of this season and you're just going to walk into free agency. It's like, well, I'm going to come back. Don't worry about it. Now he's back.
Now he's back. Number nine here, the Colorado Rockies. As it stands right now, Krabas, a 0.1% chance to get into the playoffs. That's per Fangraphs projections. For me, I've only got one thing here. It's the Trevor Story trade storyline. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, what else do you want? Like, after,
what else is there to care about in regards to that team?
I'm sorry. And like, I get it if you're a fan of the team. And Jared, that might be the best put way to think about this, is what else could you be excited about? Honestly, if you're being honest with yourself, you just watched Nolan pack up and leave town under the circumstances he did. And now you know what's coming. You know what's coming. Are you going to lie to yourself? Like, seriously, I'm not talking shit to the Rockies fans. Like, this is, look, I've had these conversations with myself as a fan of the club that I'm a fan of, as a former player. I understand. That's why I'm asking you legitimately, like, are you going to lie to yourself? Because that's the biggest thing that you're going to be thinking about all season long. When's he going to go? What are we going to get? How's that going to happen? Like, you're not worried about winning the division, are you? Okay, moving on. What are you really worried about? What are you really paying attention to? What excites you as a Rockies fan?
I mean, Charlie Blackmon still being there is a reason to get excited.
Why? Because he's been a good player and he's still on your team? Great.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not, like, excited probably isn't the word. It's just like, it's a reason to turn on your TV if the Rockies are playing that night. Yeah.
Sure.
Like, there's no, it's not like there are teams that are in far worse watchability situations than the Rockies. And I know that if I were a Rockies fan after watching that season last year, I mean, they were exciting at times. Like, I enjoyed watching the Rockies last year. Like, they didn't make the playoffs, but they were on like a little run there for a little while where it was like, all right, this team, you know, it's a short season, expanded playoffs. This team could fuck around and some like they could have been the Marlins of that, I guess, league. I mean, I know that the Marlins are also in the National League, but like, they could have been that team where like everyone was like, yeah, like, no, it's not going to happen. And then it happens. But now that Arenado's gone and Story will follow. Yeah. I mean, it's not a good situation, and it sucks because those fans are like, it's like a mini cult. Like, they're super locked in, and to spend all that money. Cause like, that's why, you know, there's some fan bases like Pittsburgh, right? You've got the Pirates. Owner doesn't want to spend a single fucking dime on the roster. They're terrible every year. And then, you know, they make a trade and get absolutely fucking fleeced. So they can't even like rebuild correctly if you're not going to spend money. That's a shit situation to be in. The Rockies, at least it was like, all right, we have a superstar player in Nolan Arenado. Let's pay him. Oh, Charlie Blackman's going to be up. Let's pay him. Like they've at least tried to make financial decisions that would appease a fan base and potentially keep a core together that could contend for a championship. It just hasn't worked out.
No, and it doesn't seem promising, because this was an organization who once was talking about how excited the starting rotation was to see the work that they were going to be able to, that they were doing at home for a while, being able to try to get that to translate on the road with offense translating on the road. You get excited about the future of your club. But as it sets right now, who's that rotation pitching for? Who's that offense going to score runs for? It's sort of like a counterbalance that I just don't see evening out and ending with any sort of excitement if you're a Rockies fan.
No.
And because it's going to be capped off by Trevor Story leaving town either in the middle of your summer or as soon as winter hits. One of the two.
Yeah.
The Halos, Carrabas.
Oh, God. I'm so Halos. Fucking pissed.
I've only got one thing to say here as well.
What, Showtime?
You got it.
Yeah.
You got it. Like.
Do we get what? A full season of Showtime? Like, does something happen where it's like, oh, we got to shut him down so he's just a DH now?
Well, that's the interesting part. That's why, again, and I'm sorry if I'm beating a dead horse here, but I'm not, because there's all 30 fans, if you're a fan of a team other than the Angels, please select your favorite player or your best pitcher, whoever it is, and now combine them and give that player the ability to do the other thing that they don't do. That's who Shohei Ohtani is. You want that guy on your team every day in either capacity. Now that they have all of this hoopla surrounding the wheels or the training wheels coming off, and him being able to just let him run, yeah, that's what you're paying attention to, because the pitching in the starting rotation has been the question for the Angels for a long time. If Shohei's healthy and he's there, look out. They need offense as well. Shohei Ohtani has the ability to give you middle-of-the-order production.
He really does.
So when you've got that dude who's capable of both of those things, like, I know it's crazy to say out loud, and I know it almost sounds laughable, but the same dude who could give you 30 plus starts potentially could also be your two, three, or four hitter pumping 30 plus homers.
Are they doing the Sunday thing again?
Well, no. And that's why this is even more interesting, is it's not going to just be like they're going to figure out how he feels day before a start. Maybe he's probably not swinging the bat day after a start. What are we doing here? As a pitcher, I know the day after my start, I'm getting on it physically. I've got a long endurance approach. I've got a work day ahead of me in the weight room. So that day after, if they can curtail that where they can actually get some production out of him the day after, instead of just taking 2 days, the one before and the one after, as non-Shohei production days, no. Nope. Time to take those training wheels off. And that's what they've told you, is those training wheels have been taken off and thrown away. And we're going to figure out what we got here, one way or the other. So if he makes 25 plus starts and gets 500 ABs, that is a hell of an entertaining season from Shohei Ohtani. I promise you that.
I just hope we see it. I'm tired of fucking hearing about it, you know,
right?
Like,
because you get flashes, right? You see the power.
Yeah, I've seen the flashes. No doubt.
See the filth on the mound, and you're like, yeah, dude, I just want to see that unfold over 162.
Yeah, I that's all I want. I mean, he's been here since what, 2018?
Yep, 2018.
Yeah, I mean, it's time to fucking to prove it. Instead of you want the fucking Babe Ruth comparisons, you want to be compared to a fictional character, you want to be this generation's Babe Ruth. All right, it's fucking time. You've been here for 4 years now.
time to roll.
Right. The Royals
with cheese.
That lineup. Lineup bangs. Like, where do you go here? I'm not picking Benintendi. Like, Mondesi?
So, I'm not necessarily. I mean, Mondesi is a great pick.
Can Keller repeat over 162 what he did in a 60-game season?
So those are
like fucking ace numbers.
Right. Right. And those are great. Like those are two very key, like individual focal points that I would not argue with at all, because I think Mondesi has the tools. Should he grow into himself a little, he has the tools to be a
Marquise Grissom,
to just be annoying as hell and good at it. You know what I mean? Like he could be that dude. So again, taking the Dayton Moore approach to how he has talked about wanting to see the game played and who he has employed and gone after to watch that game unfold, I'm thinking new game theory, moving the game along. What type of offense are the Kansas City Royals going to go out and try to execute? Because
I think they're going to be aggressive. I think they're going to be like a hard charging type team where it's like they just keep coming at you and they can run the bases well. They make a lot of contact. They hit the ball hard.
Well, think about those top three guys in that lineup, right? Who we're talking? We're talking
five, six.
Right. We're talking Witt. Well, I'm saying the top of the lineup. We got Witt, Mondesi in there, maybe Benny in there somewhere at the top. If that's the case, you like the ability to move the game along within those first three hitters, right? And then you got some juice coming behind those dudes with fucking Solar and Salvi, wherever he's at. Let's not forget Hunter Dozier, wherever that big son bitch is looming. That's a problem.
Carlos Santana as well.
That's a problem. Yeah, see, though, like they got problems for you to deal with.
They're deep. They get on base like.
Well, that's why my thing to watch is game theory. That's what I have written down. New game theory, moving the game, question marks. Are we going to see that? Just because of the way that people have talked about the evolution of baseball occurring, are we going to see guys start to hit and run, hit behind guys, move the game along, or are we just going to be happy with that true three outcome? What are we going to do? Royals, I think they're trying to answer that question differently than other teams. That excites me. I'm interested in watching that brand of baseball.
Yeah. I mean, like, this is just a team that I feel like they're definitely not going to slug you to death. They're gonna have a lot of traffic.
Yeah, let's see it, man. Like hit and runs, get excited. Trust me, when people who haven't watched a ton of baseball over the last 2+ years or so start to see a guy on first base take off within the first two pitches, and then they see that hole vacated on the infield, and then they see a guy execute a hit and run where the ball is then hit in that vacated hole, that's gonna be like a whole new world of baseball attack plan opening up and presenting itself to people. And that's not telling any baseball fan that they're stupid or haven't paid attention. No. It's just exciting to watch the game played in a different way. And when it's successful, little stuff like that is exciting to watch. A successful hit and run, very exciting to watch, because that guy's going first to third now. You might have a play at third. You never know. The triple, very exciting to watch. Stolen bases, fun, because now shit changes. In one pitch, the approach of the pitcher and the hitter has changed because the guy at first stole 90 feet. I want to watch it all.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like, I don't think we're talking playoffs or anything, but I think the Royals are going to surprise a lot of people with how good they actually are, which is, it tickles me.
Yeah, it's fun. Something else that's kind of fun to watch here for the Seattle Mariners.
Kyle Seager's farewell season.
Oh man.
I hope I hope Kyle Seager gets like a farewell tour.
I hope Kyle Seager wears a "Do you want me?" question mark.
Yeah.
T-shirt in every road city he goes to when he's taking BP.
I hope when he like comes up to the plate, he like does like a curtain call, like tip to the crowd, just be like, "You know what? It's been real, guys, but I got to get out of here. This is it for me."
I need Kyle Seager to come out to Green Day, "Wake Me Up When September Ends."
Yeah.
Yeah. My thing to watch for the Mariners, 4 lefties, 6-man rotation. Is that going to be a thing? Are they going to have 4 lefties? Are they going to have a 6-man rotation? Will they have four of those lefties in that six-man rotation?
Yeah. Well, your boy Flexen got fucking torched on Wednesday.
That's not good.
No. Yeah, he got absolutely fucking torched. I mean, it is what it is. I feel like that's it's a very underwhelming rotation, even with having six guys and four lefties. I think Paxton's going to be all right.
I mean, underwhelming. Why? Because of the stuff. Because Marco's not going to go out there and blow 96. So it's not getting your loins warm.
Yeah.
Well, because
no.
Kikuch isn't doing this. Kikuch will dial you up 93, 95. He needs it.
It's a very underwhelming rotation.
And I'm here to watch the youngster Sheffield. Let's see what we got. Come on.
Is anyone going to dominate here? No.
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 Maybe not.
There's not even one guy that's going to dominate and show for you. Why? You have someone in mind?
There's one guy on my radar, though.
Who?
Oh, you know who.
Who?
Oh, you know who.
Do I?
T-squared ain't scared, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, he's not in the rotation. Yeah.
No, we're not talking rotation. Well, we're talking about
we literally were. Yeah, Taylor Trammell. I'm excited. I mean, like, he's been bouncing around from organization to organization now. Was a top prospect with the Padres. Now he's with the Mariners. And I feel like he's got himself a clear path to the big leagues in 2021 with Seattle. So, I'm fucking excited to see him get up there and play at the big league level.
So that's my non left-handed pitching target to keep an eye on. Yeah. T-squared.
I mean, you can't not mention Kyle Lewis in this conversation, but and how about Mitch Haniger? I feel like Mitch Haniger is a strong, like, comeback player of the year type candidate.
Yeah, but that's already spoken for. That award's already spoken for in the AL.
Oh, Chris Sale. You're right.
No. But maybe a name in the conversation, but that's absolutely not even close to who we were talking about. You know, it's
Trey Mancini.
I know it's Trey Mancini. We all know it's Trey Mancini. What do we know about the Philadelphia?
Happy birthday, Trey Mancini, by the way.
Happy birthday, Trey. Hey, Trey. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Trey Mancini.
What do we know about the Philadelphia Phillies? I'm going to say this, and this is, look, not even in the same universe, okay, at this point in time. But can Alec Baum have any sort of, like, Soto effect for the Phillies?
No.
Like a poor man's Soto effect?
No.
Like, can that happen at all? Like,
no. He won't be the best offensive producer in his lineup. He won't be the second best. Like, yeah, no.
That's like, I would love to see, and that's why I said they're not in the same universe. I'm just trying to, hey, other than what we could pay attention to, other than what we could be talking about, again, this is my approach. What's different? Well, who's to say that when we look up at the All-Star break, and Alec Baum hasn't hit 15, isn't swinging the bat well. What does that Philly team look like with Alec Baum performing at that clip?
I mean, if everybody else
ahead, because he's right in the middle of a lineup that he could be the pivot. He could be the point.
Give me a slash line. Like, what do you think is his, like, ceiling? Best case scenario, he's doing what?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about best case scenario, because if I'm being honest, I haven't watched enough of his game to tell you.
Well, what do you want to see from him?
I think what I would want to see from him is I'd be paying attention to the OBP. I'd be paying attention to the walk to K or K to walk ratio.
What's acceptable for on base? 340? 330?
I was going to say 330, 340. But that's where I would really have to start to take a look at, and that's why I threw out the K-to-walk ratio as well. Just what's the discipline look like? Because if I can see him working out an approach and figuring out where he does well and what counts and what he's actually trying to achieve. Is he paying attention to what's happening ahead of him? Those are the things that can, I think, can impact those numbers and that approach. Yeah. So paying attention to those two things, the discipline and basically pitch tracking, like his selection of balls and strikes. If that bodes
well, which I
think
is good.
What's that?
Which I think is good. Like, I think his on base is gonna be more than satisfactory. Like, I think he is gonna be in that 340 range. I'm more just, what's his slug gonna be? And yeah, I mean, like, if he gets on base 340, he could even get on base at a 350 clip. But what's the slug gonna look like? Like, is his OPS gonna be higher than Real Muto's? No. Is it gonna be higher than Bryce Harper's? No. So he can't be the Soto of that lineup.
No. Well, that's why I said, just like that sort of, I'm not trying to say he's going to be Juan Soto. When I say no. Soto impact, I guess what I'm trying to say is.
Is he going
to
be the cornerstone guy?
Think about, so like the Soto impact early on was like, oh my God. And then it never stopped. And so that's how Soto has become Juan Soto and what we expect out of him now. Mm-hmm. And that initial burst, that initial punch in the public face, that is what I'm wondering if Alec Baum is capable of.
Yeah.
Grabbing your attention.
Yeah. Yes. Like, so here, instead of, let's just, because Juan Soto is kind of like the gold standard, let's drop Juan Soto and let's put it like this. Can Alec Baum be the Rhys Hoskins of 2017 for the 2021
sure.
Phillies?
There you go. There you go. That's fair.
Like, Reese came up and set the fucking world on fire.
Like I'm going to need, like, I would love to see an 825 plus OPS, 850 somewhere. That'd be great.
Yeah. And I mean, since we just mentioned Rhys Hoskins, that's a dude that I need him to have like a breakout year this year. Mm-hmm. Like, I need it. Cause you know that the talent's there, you know that the skill's there. He's already done it. It's just, he hasn't, no one is expecting him to lead the fucking National League in home runs, but I think he has shown you that the power potential is there to be one of the biggest offensive threats in the National League. So let's fucking see it. And that's such a big factor for this team. Like, when you talk about Kutch at the top of the order, and then you want to go Bryce, some combination of Bryce, and then you have fucking Didi, who they brought back as kind of like a stopgap into, I forget his name, but they're one of their top prospects is a shortstop, so he's basically holding the place of that guy. Gene, the hit machine, Kingery, who were, I mean, shout out to us 5'10 guys, we got to stick together, but Kingery, we need to see it. We got to see it. Because if Kingery becomes the guy that they thought he was when they gave him an extension before he played a single fucking game, that's a deep ass lineup.
Right. Yep. So those are the questions surrounding the Philadelphia Phillies. Jared has a few more points on them than I did. My main point was just, yeah, Alec Baum.
I'm passionate about the Phillies this year.
You are. It sounds like it.
Yeah, because I thought for sure they were going to be a playoff team last year, and then they kind of just shit the bed. Like, that's what they do. That's what they've done, at least recently.
Not a playoff team.
Yeah, they've given you reasons to believe why they have the talent that it takes to be a playoff team. And you knew that the bullpen was absolute dog shit, but I guess, I don't know. If I'm a Phillies fan last year, I'm kind of hoping for them to shit the bed at the end like they did, so that they don't make the playoffs, so that you have that one glaring issue where it's like, we didn't make the playoffs because X, and X last year was the bullpen. So it's like, all right, we were going to make the playoffs and then we didn't because of the bullpen. So this winter, you know exactly what to attack. Bring back JT, done. Everyone knew that was priority number one, but then you attacked that bullpen. Did they to be a playoff team by fixing that bullpen?
I think the answer is no. Yeah. I think I'm okay with their playoff projections as they sit right now. And they are projected to be at home in October.
They one last are, team. 15.1% playoff odds.
Not going to do it. But it is a little better than the San Francisco Giants playoff odds. Again, if you're the San Francisco Giants, go get that division. Nope. Sorry. Okay. Well, what's the consolation? Figuring out what you're going to do with your aging superstars. What are you going to do?
How old is Posey?
34.
Damn. And he's coming off a year that he sat out.
Brandon Crawford. What are we doing with these guys? What are we expecting from these guys? What can you expect from these guys? Are these things that are going to keep the Giants from growing in a time where they should be taking advantage of the ability to grow? Maybe not having the pressure that they once had earlier in the previous decade that they dominated, right?
Yeah.
The way that the Padres have aligned themselves, the way that the Dodgers have aligned themselves. Look, a lot of people loved Brandon Belt early on, and I can understand why. And a lot of people have fallen out of favor with Brandon Belt, and I can understand why, because you just haven't gotten the consistency that had you hyped up about him early on. And with all that being said, like that's like, and let's not forget Evan Longoria, Longo as well. I mean, I just mentioned those three guys that I mentioned because those are core guys left over from the big run from the decade. And the Giants are well documented as being a club that just hangs on a little too long to those guys that have gotten them to and through their glory days. So I can understand the give and take from organization to player there. I love that. I respect that. It's great to think that clubs would take care of their guys after the fact. But when it comes to projecting the future of this club, you do have to look at those three guys and consider their impact. And is it addition by subtraction at some point when you start to give other guys opportunities that don't have a ring from 10, 12, and 14?
Yeah. You mentioned Longoria, and there's going to be a little bit of a logjam in the infield there, no? Like, where someone's going to be missing time between Solano, Belt, Crawford, and then your boy. They fucking brought in LaStella. So,
well, LaStella's going to play first.
Where's Belt playing?
He's hurt right now. He's got heel issues or some shit, I think. Yeah, like he had surgery in October. I don't know why I know that, but I think that's the case. Yeah, like LaStella, because LaStella played first in Oakland.
Wait, did you say Brandon Crawford or Brandon Belt?
Brandon Belt.
Brandon Belt had surgery?
Yeah. Pretty sure. Look that up so I don't sound like
dealing with a different ailment right now.
Okay.
This is from 2 weeks ago. San Francisco Giants first baseman Brandon Belt underwent heel surgery early in the offseason, but he is dealing with a different ailment at the moment. In his Zoom video conference with reporters on Tuesday, manager Gabe Kapler revealed that the longtime first baseman is battling an undisclosed illness. It was also confirmed that the illness is not COVID-19 related. Belt has yet to make an appearance in spring training.
That sucks. That's brutal. You hope the best for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's
so you've got LaStella at first.
Yeah, LaStella's at first.
I mean, he can play everywhere.
He can. I mean, he can get that job done.
Yeah, he can.
That's not gonna be a big deal. But again, you boil it down, when LaStella's your starting first baseman at this point. And we've kind of outlined the aging vets in that lineup as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, latch on to Yaz, folks.
Yeah.
Latch on to Yaz.
It's our boy.
Right.
It's a reason to watch. I mean, short season, we were talking about potential fucking MVP for this dude. That's how good he was. He was balling out early last year. Early. Hey.
I've noticed something.
Yeah, what's up?
Your beard trim?
Uh-huh.
Looking kind of tight. Mm-hmm. Looking like you've done a decent job decent lineup.
Yep.
Decent length. It's not too bushy.
Yeah, it's not bushy at all. Yeah, we've mastered that.
What's getting that done for you?
Well, the secret, Dallas, is Manscaped.
Okay.
Which is something that was brought to my radar, I want to say maybe like a year ago. So once you kind of get the hang of it, it becomes part of your routine.
I love that you can use this fucking thing in the shower. It's true. Like, you know, sometimes you wake up, it's raining, and you had mowing the lawn on your docket today.
Yeah.
Can't do that. It's raining, can't mow the lawn.
Right.
Not the case with Manscaped.
It's not at all, which is such a convenience. And speaking of mowing the lawn, is there anything better than the fresh mowed grass at the ballpark on opening day? How about freshly groomed balls, Dallas? How about that?
The only thing better is like the smell of fresh grass at the ballpark when you cruise in, but that's a different
freshly groomed balls.
Yes.
And our sponsors at Manscaped, the global leaders in below the waist grooming, are here to help you strike out your bush for good.
Whack
it. Whole new balls game, folks. And Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. So join the movement. You get 20% off and free shipping. There's been promo codes that we've done where it's like, yeah, you can get 20% off or you can get free shipping. How about both? You get 20% off and free shipping using the promo code starting at manscaped.com.
You have two balls.
Yep.
One's for 20% off. The other one's for free shipping.
Yeah. Yeah. And the products are no joke. They're so easy to use that I have all the confidence in the world with the best tools for the job at Manscaped. It is, it's something that, you know, one of those, we were going to do the Barstool fireman calendar type deal. And I was like, the reason why I didn't appear in it was because I wanted to do it fully nude. And they were like, you can't, that's not what this is. That's not what we're going for here. And I was like,
a little aggressive.
It's a little aggressive, but I was like, but Dave, my balls, they're fully groomed and I would like to show the world. I mean, Manscaped is a sponsor. They're spending their hard-earned money to advertise with Starting Nine. I would like to showcase my freshly groomed balls. And Dave said, I don't think that this is the platform for that.
I don't know how you don't put the Lawnmower 3.0 and all that ridiculously advanced skin-safe technology on display. That's an absolute crime against humanity, Carlos.
I know. And because of their ceramic blade and advanced skin-safe technology, your snags will be reduced with a close shave. The Lawnmower 3.0, which you just mentioned, is simply the best hygiene tool for the modern man. Hits the sweet spot in every way for my balls.
You know what? Maybe Dave didn't know that you also had the crop preserver.
Yeah. Yep.
Maybe that's what he was worried about. Like, look, hey, we show those things. There could be some rashes, and we don't need to give the general public that. But he didn't know that they've got anti-chafing ball deodorant. That's what he didn't know. He didn't know that your balls haven't been stuck together since you popped into this world.
Right. They also have the Crop Reviver, which is the spray-on toner for your balls.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is that like a push-up bra for guys, but it's toner?
Yeah, basically.
Love
that. It's made with soothing aloe.
Ooh.
Gives your balls a little boost.
How soothing?
Yeah, very soothing.
Does it come with a blanket to put out that skin fire smoothing?
I mean, it should. If it doesn't, you can complete your top-to-bottom grooming game with the new refined cologne signature scent by Manscaped. With the same signature scent that's in all Manscaped formulas, this cologne is perfect complement to the collection. Wow. It's the Mike Trout of ball trimmers. So get 20% off and free shipping with the promo code starting at manscaped.com. Hit the balls out of the park this season with Manscaped. Perfect package. 3.0. One more time for you guys. 20% off and free shipping with the promo code starting at manscaped.com. That is 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Baseball is back. So don't let your pubes get out of whack.
Love that.
Yeah.
A little damage control, huh? Come on. Everybody needs to be playing on a nice, freshly shorn diamond. You know what I'm saying? Come on, boys.
Yep. The minor league or the rule changes that they're testing out at the minor league level. I know that some people were upset about this. The base sizes, they're going from 15-inch squares to 18-inch squares. That's to avoid any collisions. Like, that's just pure safety protocol. That makes sense. Do you oppose the base size thing?
No. And for all the people who were like, well, now it's not technically 90 feet in between the bases, and you're not going to be able to say 90 feet. Fuck you. Yeah, I
can. Fuck you.
And yeah, I will. That's exactly what I'll say. And you'll know what I'm talking about. You'll be the asshole for telling me otherwise. But yes, you're absolutely right. It's purely a safety precaution here. And they're thinking, replay the Bryce Harper incident over in your head. Hits the middle of the bag. Okay, maybe not ideal.
Obviously. Oh, yeah. Ugh.
But the knee, the
I just
slip
saw
into the back.
My head when you said that.
Well, it's gross, dude. It does. It makes me, it gives me goosebumps to watch the fucking, I can see the knee doing the Napoleon Kaufman thing.
Yeah,
I don't want to do that. So I get it. I understand that. Like you said, purely a safety precaution. The one that I've really paid attention to is the defensive position that's going to go down in AA, where teams will be required to position four players in the infield. Each player has got to have both feet in front of the outer boundary of the infield dirt. That means the outfield cut that separates the infield, their feet has to be on the dirt in front of that right there. And MLB may also require that teams keep two infielders on each side of second base, though that is not at this point a requirement at the beginning of this thing.
Right.
So this
how do you feel about that?
It's understanding that the game of baseball looks very different if you start to put guys in places or force guys to stay in places, because now what opens itself up again is that book of strategy that's been laying in the dust in the corner of the front office for years, right? Now, pitching strategy, hitting strategy, like instead of a guy trying to get his, maybe he can cut his swing down with two strikes. Because guess what? The idea of trying to stay inside and go the other way will actually pay off here, because there's not a third guy on the other side of the diamond playing rover 30 feet out in to the field. So you're okay and you're comfortable with taking your swing down a little bit, getting what's given to you, and moving on. You've watched and heard Francisco Lindor be vocal about, hey, let me make that play.
Yeah.
Let my astute baseball IQ and athleticism actually impact the game. Because if you're just putting Francisco Lindor with all of that athleticism in the exact spot you think the ball is going to be hit, are you utilizing Francisco Lindor to the best of your ability? He seems to think not. The counter to that would be, well, yes, we are, Dallas, because Francisco Lindor is the only dude I'm leaving on that side of the field, telling him we've got full confidence in him to grab shit from second base all the way over to third base. But that's just not feasible. And you're going to watch Knox go through in places that Frankie just couldn't get to. Where he should be, you might see some plays unfold that you haven't seen in a long time.
That's what I'm more excited about. I mean, I think Francisco Lindor hit it on the head where he's like, let us be athletes.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think.
Could you imagine being robbed of a Derek Jeter jump throw, Carrabas?
I mean, you mean like a Nomar jump throw?
Don't disrespect it. You don't want to grow up in a world where you didn't get to see the Derek Jeter jump throw.
I saw the Nomar jump throw. He was awesome at it.
Yeah, so you don't want to take away things like that from the game?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, yeah, the defensive shift, like, you know, being a Red Sox fan, they shifted on David Ortiz more than anyone. Like, I saw the shift. Like, David Ortiz was probably the most shifted on player before it became they started shifting for fucking everyone. Like, they're shifting for your fucking number eight hitter that hits 230. Back when they only did defensive shifts for, you know, the guys that were really, really pull happy or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I was never a fan of it. I get that you, as a fan, you should want your team to do whatever they can to record the out. I get that. But don't you want more action? Like, don't you want more play that end up in base runners, and there's more traffic on the bases? And
like, you know, there's a difference between people want to, like, they talk about integrity of the game, and you want to maintain a level of integrity of the game. Think about those two words being in the same sentence. Integrity, game. Integrity, game. When you involve business into that, something's got to give. And is it going to be the integrity, or is it going to be the game? I think we've lost both when we start to move the game around the way it is. So you're going to have guys who are okay. I've got eight defenders, I've got seven defenders. I've got a pitcher and a catcher, and then I've got guys that I can put anywhere I want behind them. Okay, you're absolutely right. You can do that. You're right. You can do that. What have we sacrificed if that's the case? The game aspect. The game. You're telling me the game is the game, but if I'm going about this from a business perspective where I'm valuing everything and there's dollars attached to it, well, then the game goes out the window and business takes over, and business and dollar signs are telling me to put this guy here because that's what's going to keep them off the scoreboard. That's what's going to keep us ahead. That's what will have us win. If we win, we get fans hear money. And like, that's just the cycle. And you've already just said, I'm good on how the game used to be played. That's okay. Things are changing here. This is a big business now. What's best business practice?
So for or against?
I'm absolutely for the defensive positioning.
Yeah, me too.
Absolutely for. I said this right when all these things popped up. I was like, if we're being honest here, for the trust tree here, Carrabas. I'm not mad at a lot of this. I'm not mad at a lot of it. The one thing. So the defensive positioning, that's a big thing. The step off rule, which for me made no difference at all because I could pick off either way. So hang with them if you can't figure that out. Sorry about it. Be a better athlete. But the step off rule in high A, pitchers will be required to disengage from the rubber before attempting a pickoff throw. A violation will result in a balk. So they're just trying to say, hey, look, we're going to try to get these guys to run a little more. And in doing so, we've got to give them the ability to get back, eliminate the deception created by the pitcher. So that's what we're going to do. I don't know how much of an impact that's going to have. Whatever. The pitch timer, we've talked about this ad nauseum. In low A, in the West League, pitchers will be placed on a 15-second pitch clock.
Wait, you skipped the fucking electronic strike zone.
I did. And that's because in low A, the Southeast League, the electronic strike zone, select games.
You don't think that this is ever going to make it to Major League Baseball, do you?
Yes, I will. Yes.
You do? Electronic strike zone?
Yeah. You want to know why?
Why?
Because they're too dumb to get back to the game aspect of this, Jared.
They want to know. Let me ask you this. I understand some of these rule changes are to create action, more balls in play, and to speed up the game. How does the electronic strike zone do any of those things? Getting the call right? Like,
yes.
I've said this a million times, and I don't know where you're at on this as a former player. As a fan, one of my favorite things about watching baseball is getting upset at a call that was made incorrectly. Like,
right, but Jared, that
I
just
love
that.
Like, if it's fucking all right, it's bases loaded and it's an 0-2 count and my guy's pitching and it's like, oh, he didn't go for a waste pitch there, but he didn't just try to groove one down the middle. Like, he tried to paint that low outside corner, and it's like, ball. That fucking caught the corner. Like, what the fuck are you talking? All right, now it's a base hit to fuck down the right field line. Two runs just scored. Now it's like, that's a talking point for me the next day. It's like, yeah, if he got that fucking call in the third inning, two runs don't score, they win that game. Like, I like having something to bitch about. Like,
Hey, that's all fine and fun, Jared, if you're playing a game. But we're not playing a game anymore. That's what I just told you. We are actually acting out business ideas and business attack plans. That's what we are acting out. That's what these players are acting out on the baseball field today, is business attack plans, business theory. Because that game aspect right there, the owners don't want that. They want to know what calls are, like the players, they would love to have a sense of a strike zone, but they also understand that that's part of the human error and the human element of our, here's that G word again, of our game. But when you start looking at everything through a business lens, you start to, like, think about this. If we're in a meeting and I'm trying to tell you that we can capitalize on certain performances, but then I'm telling you that those certain performances are impacted by a varying strike zone that changes over your three-game series, where you're going to need to win two out of the three of those to get to the playoffs. Guess what? First game, completely different strike zone than the one you had before. And that next game, completely different strike zone. Should you get to that third game, completely different strike zone. So when you say that out loud to business people, they're going, well, that doesn't make any fucking sense whatsoever. I need something that we can regulate. I need something in place. What's that? A digital strike zone judged by a computer. What does that eliminate? Well, the game fun, Jared. But again, buddy, this is a business now. This isn't a game. You can take your game and shove it up your ass. We're here to make baseball the business that it is. That's what they're saying. So the idea of having a catcher like Yasmani Grandal, who can dress it up for guys and steal strikes and make it look real nice and great defensively, he matters not at all. You could very well.
That's what sucks.
If a Gary Sanchez is swinging the bat well, he becomes more valuable than a Yasmani Grandal. Why? Like, think about Gary. Think about rookie Gary and the storm that he created.
Like blocking that balls?
What's that?
Like blocking balls versus like pitch framing?
Pitch framing. Pitch calling. Like all of that. Like that all gets reduced. There's zero value in that.
I don't think pitch calling gets reduced, but pitch framing definitely does.
Well, the pitch calling for me has always been on the pitcher. I say that. Like, that's why.
Yeah, you ultimately have the final say.
But yeah, like valuing a catcher's responsibility and skill set and tools, that all goes out the way. All goes out the window. I don't want to see that.
I don't either. Yeah, fuck the electronic strike zone. Like, I don't want anything to do with that. And yeah, I mean, you make.
And I've said this before. Hitters
aspect of it.
Fans would hate it because they're going to see pitches that are caught terribly. They look terrible. You might see a guy go down to block a curveball, a Glasnow curveball in the dirt that clips the bottom of the strike zone. So what you see visually as a fan tells you that's a ball, except for that 89 mile an hour curveball that just bored through the bottom of the zone, clipped the strike zone. The computer caught that. Ring it up. Well, it looked god awful. Nobody cares. The business strike zone tells us it was a strike. Keep it moving.
They're limiting pickoffs. So across low A, pitchers will only be allowed to step off twice per plate appearance. Subsequent throw over must result in successfully retiring the runner, or it is a balk.
Can't happen. Because now what prevents me from getting you to throw over twice, and after you've thrown over twice?
Just taking off, yeah.
Not just taking off. I could essentially walk 89 feet towards second base and then stop there. And the minute, and all I'm doing at that point is taking my lead. And the minute you engage the rubber, I'll just stand on second. Stole me a bag. Am I wrong?
That one's kind of impossible. Yeah.
Am I wrong there in laying that out? Like,
yeah. I mean, like, well, no, because it says you can pick over twice. But then if you do pick over again after that, you have to retire the runner or else it's a balk.
Right.
So like you could walk like halfway to fucking second base. But if I step off, I have a really good chance of getting you out at that point if you're just walking over there.
Fair.
Yeah.
But I'm looking like this, like a huge lead. Like you could fuck with guys. Like there's just no way.
You could absolutely take a huge lead. But still, I mean, I could just throw over and you're picked off. Unless, like, I think it would be very funny if, like, you took, like, a huge lead and I throw over to first and you take off for second and you successfully swipe second base. And it's like, well, I just got charged with a balk anyway.
Well, that's what, like, what guys will do, like lefties who are predetermined guys, they'll go up slow to try to get that runner who's going on first move to get him to sell out, get him to go. Because if you go with an abbreviated leg kick, the runners are taught to shut it down. Or if they see a slide step, they're taught to shut it down. So if you're a lefty who's reading that guy, aggressive lead, he's out there a long way, he's probably going first move. So you go up slow, drop it in the first baseman's glove, and you get him out at second base. But yeah, I just don't like the idea of limiting the ability to jockey the runner because that's part of the game. Controlling the running game, eliminating the running game.
Yeah. I want to eliminate not being able to last longer in bed.
Well, there's ways you can do that, Carabas.
Yeah, and it's been really helping me watching Tyler Glasnow during spring training starts as well.
Mm-hmm. It's because you are a founding member of the Swipes Club.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
And as most of you fellas have tried, maybe you're thinking about the Eric Gregg umpiring strike zone game to keep you lasting longer. Maybe it's about you getting that bunt sign from your high school coach in the championship game going, well, there's no fucking way. Whatever you got to do to keep yourself locked in and maintaining that charge ahead in bed, Roman Swipes is going to be your best designated hitter, if you know what I mean. You know how they roll. Super easy, super effective, right? It's like sliding that donut on your bat right before you're getting ready to take the monster hacks you're going up there to take. Because that donut on the bat, that's going to help you keep the bat in the zone. You know what I mean? You're going to be able to stay on pitches, gentlemen. Roman can ship you these quote-unquote donuts. That's right. They can ship you these swipes so nobody else knows that you're taking hacks in the cage. You know what I mean? After hours, unmarked packaging. Nobody knows. Each swipe is small enough to hide in your damn wallet. And I've told you the game plan, boys. Oh, check, please. Into the bathroom. Leg up. Counter. Swipes out of the pocket. Boom. Apply the donut to the bat. That's how easy it is to use. Super easy. If we're being honest, it's almost like a cheat code. It's like a human cheat code for you to take your Roman Swipes into the batter's box. It's like, well, put it like this. You're going to be banging a trash can. Absolutely. For a long period of time, because the Roman Swipes have got you ready to charge ahead with zero hurdles in your way. It's a no-brainer, boys. It really is. So you go to GetRoman.com/starting. You get your first month of swipes, your first month of swipes, just $5 when you choose a monthly plan. So GetRoman.com/starting, get yourself the swipes. This is going to help you stay in the at-bat longer, all right? The true three outcome for you is you rounding the bases and celebrating your glorious victory brought to you by Roman Swipes. So GetRoman.com/starting.
Some more previews to run through. My Milwaukee Brewers. This one, I mean, the obvious is Christian Yelich comeback season. That's obvious. Travis Shaw's back. He's able to compete for the third base job, which I believe he's going to win handedly.
So is that your one?
My one, I mean, Jackie Bradley Jr. switching teams, heading over to Milwaukee. Colton Wong passed on by the Cardinals, happily scooped up by my Milwaukee Brewers. But then Keston Hira, because Colton Wong was added, he goes from second base. He's going to play some first base here. Man.
Well, you know what? That leads right into my assessment.
What?
I have one word written down next to the Brewers.
What is it?
Defense.
Hmm.
Because you add Colton Wong. You add JBJ up the middle. They got RC over at shortstop. They've got guys. Right? They've got guys. Yelly, JBJ. I mean, come on.
I see a lot of people picking the Brewers to win the Central this year.
I think that might be a little aggressive.
I don't think it is.
I do.
I don't think it is.
It's definitely aggressive. They're not going to beat the Cardinals. That's just not going to happen.
They could.
I mean, they might win a game or two throughout the season. You're absolutely right.
I mean, how about Corbin Burnes being able to repeat what he did last year over a full season?
I like the odds. It helps. Definitely.
And Brandon Woodruff.
Hey, I'm talking about the defense here. That's all I'm talking about. I'm not talking about
just saying that, like, don't sleep on this fucking Brew Crew team this year, because when people usually on the Brew Crew, they look very stupid in the end.
I'm just telling you that I don't know that they're winning the Central. That's what I'm telling. I'm not telling you
they could win the whole fucking thing.
I'm excited that you're getting your I think you may have already been drinking today. You need to slow down. They are aligned to be better. I don't know that they're going to be better than the St. Louis Cardinals. I don't know. What are their playoff odds? Coin flip? At best?
No. What are they officially listed at for their playoff odds? The Brewers right now are,
I'm going to say,
34%?
Like, yeah.
That is low.
That's insane. So I would wonder where the Cardinals are in that regard, because I got the Cardinals taking the division. That's crazy. But anyway, that's my take. Brewers defense. They added Wong. They added JBJ, like you said. They got Hira going over to first. That's an athletic first baseman who's played in the middle of the infield. I like their ability to catch the ball. That's about all I got there.
Yeah, they're probably gonna end up being NL Central Division champions. The Houston Astros are next up. Michael Brantley ended up back there. That was funny to me. Yordan Alvarez. How about Yordan Alvarez after not making an impact last year, coming back this year and being the best hitter in that lineup?
Ooh, not named Michael Brantley?
No, better.
Wow.
Better.
Strong.
Mm-hmm.
Strong. I don't know how you talk, like, if I'm being honest, I don't know how you talk about this team without talking about Jose Altuve and figuring it out.
You think he's going to be,
or recapturing it, or like, I just, the success of their club, I think, has a lot to do with Jose Altuve. And I think it's just kind of one of those things that's been a, oh, we'll see how he goes. You know, like, we're just not going to talk about it until maybe we have to. That's what I'm watching.
What's your confidence level in a Jose Altuve bounce back season?
I want to believe, and again, this is moving beyond everything that's happened. I want to believe he has it in him to fight that good fight, to have addressed and faced whatever demons and whatever, and made his peace, and, you know, to whatever extent he can, and get back into that ball player mindset that had everybody fall in love with him, that grinder mindset that had everybody cheering for him, right? Like, you throw up the picture of him and Judge, and everybody's favorite player in that picture at the time, probably Altuve.
Are you buying or selling Lance McCullers being the best pitcher in the Astros rotation in 2021?
I'm selling that.
Who you got?
I'd love to put some stock in my man Odorizzi.
I feel like you've got some sort of emotional attachment to him that is definitely
clouding my judgment.
Yes.
My pick for that individual in that rotation has got a broken finger right now.
Okay.
I really liked Framber Valdez.
Yeah, okay, but he wasn't even like Framber Valdez, even if healthy, was still a question mark to crack the season in the rotation.
I don't know. I mean, he's probably competing with Javier.
Uh-huh. And then they added Odorizzi.
Yeah.
You had Granky. They added Odorizzi
because Framber Valdez broke his fucking finger.
Yes, but even if he didn't break his finger, you have to figure the Astros are probably starter given Lance McCullers' injury history, Zach Greinke's age.
Unproven
track record of Urquidy, like those are your top three guys.
But Urquidy threw the ball well. I mean, he did.
But can you pencil him in for 180 innings?
We're about to find out.
Yeah,
we're about to find out.
Get that.
We are about to find out. The fish. Let's go to South Beach.
You know where I'm rolling. Do I?
Yeah, Six Toes. My homie Six Toes.
Huh.
I want to see him, like Stanton and Yelly, play his way out of a situation where he could be. And I understand Dallas. They're young. They could be good. He could be a part of what they're doing. I appreciate all that, but I would like to see Sixto slicing and dicing in some primetime scenarios. And the biggest question is, can the Marlins sustain the magic that they sprinkled on everybody last year? Can they do that?
No, but...
Are you saying Miguel Rojas cannot rally these fish, Carrabas? Is that what you're saying?
I love Miguel Rojas.
I don't know how they're not an 86-win team based on his kicks alone.
Yeah, no, I love Miguel Rojas. I do. I'm a fan. But I mean, like, it's, yeah, the magic probably isn't going to be a 2021 thing. But I mean, their lineup is like sneaky okay. It is.
Did you just drop a sneaky okay?
Yeah.
I mean, because if you're just okay, that's not really sneaking up on anybody. Like, that's
I feel like you
tried to pick a nicer way to go. They're not that bad.
Yeah, they're not that bad. Like, I feel like, you know, anytime that you want to make an insult to a Major League Baseball team, you're like, yeah, well, at least we're not the Marlins. Like,
there's a difference between not being that bad and not being that bad. And you just said they're not that bad. You didn't say they're not that bad. You said they're not that bad.
Yeah, they're not that bad.
No.
What I said was they could be sneaky okay.
I'm almost insulted by that. Almost.
Yeah, but it was you on the clubhouse yesterday that said that they're going to be battling for fourth place. I think a sneaky okay team battles for third place.
I don't know about that. As far as bright spots,
mm-hmm.
or guys to look at. I think I mentioned him before. It's on Diaz. Middle infielder, second baseman.
Yeah.
Youngster, he's going to get some opportunity. That'll be fun to watch.
How about Brian Anderson? How about putting some goddamn respect on Brian Anderson's name?
On DA?
Year? Yeah.
Let's see it.
I mean, he's a very good big league baseball player.
On a sneaky okay team.
On a sneaky okay team.
Yeah. What are we doing in Ohio? Cincinnati Reds. If you bought the T-shirt, you know where I'm going with this. When Eugenio Suarez sat down in front of the media and told everybody he's hitting 50,
he said that.
I got aroused.
He said that.
Yeah, he said he wants to hit 50. I want to hit 50.
He wants to hit 50, not I'm gonna hit 50.
Right. I want to hit 50. I translate that the same way, because in this day and age, and I think athletes know this, if you're going to say something even remotely close to that, then it's going to get latched onto. Mm-hmm. And he did. He said, and there's nothing wrong with that. I want to hit 50. Ah, fuck yeah, you do. Love that. Love that mindset. Let's see it. But there's the
approach. I don't even think he leads the team in home runs. Never mind, hits 50.
So you've got Eugenio not leading the club in jacks.
Correct.
Who? No, that's, we don't need to go down that road. I was going to say who. We don't have to do that.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, because you're going to drop a moose on me, is what you're
No, I'm not.
Wait, you're not? Oh, you're going to drop a Castellanos on me?
Oh, no, I'm not.
Well, who the fuck do they have left that's going to hit 50 fucking bombs?
I didn't say he's going to hit 50. I just said he's going to lead the team in homers.
Okay, who?
He was my pick last year for who to watch on the Cincinnati Reds, and then he ended up. Hold on, let me just double check what he ended. Well, I'm just gonna let me just double check what the numbers were, what they ended up being. Okay, yeah.
What, you're going Punisher? Right. You're going Punisher?
Nope. Last year, and this was out of the goddamn clouds.
You going Winky?
I was like, check out fucking Jesse Winker.
Oh, Winky!
932 OPS last year. 12 tanks in 54 games. So you tell me, does this guy have the potential? Does this guy have the balls to lead the Cincinnati Reds in home runs this year?
I gotta roll with Eugenio! Anytime a dude tells me he's looking to pump 50, you got my attention.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's nothing wrong about that pick, except for the fact that you're incorrect.
Nobody else has been vocal about hitting more home runs on that team than Eugenio Suarez. Mm-hmm. That's a fact, and I stand by that fact.
That's because Jesse Winker has that quiet confidence.
Hey, whatever it may be. My man Eugenio's put the target on his own back and said, let's fucking see how good an aim you got, pal.
Yeah, let's fuck it. Let's circle back in mid-September when Big Wink has fucking 59 bombs.
Oh, Winky. Let's get it, little Winky. Is he going to outslug?
Yes.
The Nolan Arenado St. Louis Cardinals?
Ooh. There's not a ton of thump in that lineup besides Nolan. I mean, like, Goldie is, I would say Goldie is more on-base threat than a power threat at this stage of his career.
Excuse me?
Yeah, you heard me.
Well, you're just not, you're okay with dick high cheese balls to Paul Goldschmidt?
All right, I'm willing to make a bet with you that Paul Goldschmidt fails to hit 30 home runs this year. Never mind 40, never mind 50.
I'm willing to make a bet with you that Paul Goldschmidt hits more home runs than Nolan Arenado.
Oh, you motherfucker. All right, I'll take that bet.
Let's go.
I'll take that bet. What's the wager?
Oh, man. I don't know. We might have to figure that out. Maybe we'll let the fans decide that.
All right. And it can't be like, I'm not, everyone always is like, tattoo on the ass, shave your head, shave your beard. I'm not doing any of those things.
No, we'll we have to get to one of these guys' games, and it's a very awkward dress attire that has to be worn for the entirety of one of these games.
Yeah, I mean, I've already, I have to dress up like a dog and sit behind Lucas Giolito's dugout at the G spot.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, whatever. We'll figure it out. But yeah, okay, done. Nolan's gonna hit more homers than
what Goldie. Do we got any projections on their homers right now? I feel Goldie's probably set to hit 25-30. No?
Let's see. I don't know what Baseball Reference pulls there.
I mean, I gotta feel like they're both in that 25-30.
Okay.
That's the only 28, reason.
28 for Nolan on Baseball Reference.
Okay. So good. 25-30. Fucking nailed that. You're welcome.
And Paul Goldschmidt. per Baseball Reference is projected to hit 25.
I mean, I couldn't have nailed that anymore.
28 for Nolan, 25 for Paul Goldschmidt.
So do you want to give me like a 2.5 bump?
No, you're the one that made the fucking bet. There are even odds.
I was just asking you. You didn't have to be rude.
Plus, I think it would be different if they were projecting Nolan to hit 40 and Goldie to hit like 28. I mean, they're three homers apart. I'd say that's pretty even.
All right, pretty even odds. I'm riding with Goldie. Let's go. And strictly because I have a butterfly koi named Paul Goldschmidt.
Full first and last name.
But he is. My daughters call him Pagutschmidt. Pagutschmidt.
I love that.
It's their fish.
So all right, that's it. End of discussion for St. Louis this year is the home run race between Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado.
I like it.
There's nothing else to pay attention to in regards to that team besides Jack Flaherty Day every 5 days. That's what we're paying attention to with the Cardinals is the home run race of home run races. The most paid attention to home run race since the 1998 race between Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa.
The summer that saved baseball will be, this is the summer that saved baseball in St. Louis 2.0.
Yep. Yep.
Side note, Jordan Hicks just had a 22 pitch at bat.
Oh yeah, for some reason when you said that I was like, is this happening right now again? Holy shit! No. Yeah.
So something to watch for, something we've talked about before. Jordan Hicks with all that horsepower, not quite the deception there to get the swing and misses you think somebody with his stuff would get. So does that change?
Just a little side note. I don't like just that.
The Toronto Blue Jays. What do we got for our Blue Jays? I'm going to say.
I love how we have our secondary teams and then we have like our joint custody team.
Our squad.
Dallas is an A's Pirates Blue Jays fan. I am a Red Sox Brewers Blue Jays fan.
So, our legacy Jays, Carabas.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new look offense.
It's a better look offense. It's new. It's the new offense is newer.
Yes.
I mean, adding Springer and Semien is that's fucking awesome for what they already had going on.
Hell yes. Yeah. And just to. Because folks that listen obviously understand the parallels.
Imagine if
that
they fucking had Brantley on top of this.
Dude, dirty.
What the fuck, Hazel dirty. May?
Dirty Hazel.
I'm so mad about that. Like, I'm not saying I'm mad at Hazel May
for incorrectly
reporting that Michael Brantley had signed with the Blue Jays. I'm mad that, like, you put that fucking thought into my head and then I was able to, like, draft out what that lineup looks like with Brantley on top of what they already have. And I was just like,
because a Brantley in this lineup right there with all of these fucking, a Brantley in this lineup has Vlad Guerrero Jr., Lourdes Gurriel and Kevin Biggio hitting 7, 8, 9.
Yeah. Well, you're going to need a catcher, Danny Jansen.
Well, you see what I get.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. They would be 6, 7, 8.
Just a completely...
I mean, their 6, 7, 8 is still fucking Kevin Lourdes and Rowdy Tellez, who hits absolute moon bombs.
Rowdy!
Their number 8 hitter is arguably the strongest player in baseball not named Luke Voit.
Thank you. Yeah, he has the power of the thundering herd from the mighty Elk Grove in Northern California.
I love this lineup.
That gas tank.
I fucking love this. Springer, Bichette,
so
Semien, Teoscar Hernandez, who, by the way, has never in his life hit a cheap home run. He's never hit a home run that barely got over the fence, ever. And then Vladdy, and then Kevin, and then Lourdes, and then Rowdy.
And And these are guys, so like some of the guys you just mentioned, like, okay, Lourdes, Vlad Cakes, Cavan, Bo, the Legacy Jays as we've known them.
Yeah.
They have continued to take strides together.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched that unfold with a core group in Oakland that Semien was a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And now that Semien's a part of this core group, and I'm not saying that Marcus is the central figure. No. I'm saying you bring a guy like Marcus who played the central figure role in the development of another core group that is having success at the big league level. You inject a guy like that into a very similar scenario where you've got the Legacy Jays continuing to evolve together. You add one of the most prolific power hitters in the game at the top of the lineup, like the most prolific power leadoff spot guy. Like this lineup just gets chunky quick, man. It really, really does.
It's relentless.
The biggest question will be, are they going to be required to outscore everybody? And you know what I mean by that. Are they going to be able to win 2-1? Can they win that 1-0 ball game with a fine pitching performance from a 3-4-5 slot and some bullpen help? Can they do that? And the answer that I think you're really after is, can they do that in that division? That's where the Blue Jays have to answer that question. That's the question needing to be answered by the Blue Jays. Will they be able to pitch for this lineup?
Yeah. I mean, I don't love the rotation, if we're being honest. I don't love it.
It's a little older in terms of, I'm even going to throw Matt's into this little older category here, because he's had the injuries, ticky-tack, serious. So he's a little older. He doesn't have the tread of youth on his tires like maybe some other 29-year-olds do.
Yeah.
Robbie Ray, same thing, just a year older.
Tanner Roark.
No big question marks whatsoever. But yeah, Tanner.
Chicken strips.
Chicken strip at the end, because you're going to get what you're going to get from the lefty Ryu. But who else behind him?
Yeah, that's... I would say after Ryu, it's you're looking at like, all right, boys, we got a minimum of five. All right,
come on,
let's get it going early.
Go to work. And is that? Oh no, there's one more. Do you want this last team here?
Yeah,
Los Yankees.
Yeah, the Yankees. There's a couple guys. I mean, there's a few guys that stand out to me. I mean, I think it's a very fucking intriguing team this year. We can go top to bottom. Plug in DJ, fine. He's automatic. Aaron Judge, like, he apparently is not lifting like a meathead anymore. He's doing yoga and he's trying to be more flexible. So can he stay healthy? Will that actually make a difference for him health-wise this year? Same thing. Stanton did the same thing. Gleyber Torres, disappointing year last year, and he's obviously a better second baseman than he is a shortstop. His defense kind of fucking sucks at shortstop, so you know he's gonna have to hit in order to make up for being subpar defensively. Gary Sanchez, he's not fat anymore, and everyone is telling me, Aaron, you got Aaron Judge out here saying he's gonna win an MVP award. He's not, but let's see if any improvements were made on last year, because last year was fucking abysmal for him offensively and defensively. I mean, he lost his starting job in the playoffs. Clint Frazier, is this dude actually going to be given a chance? I think he will. I mean, I think he's earned it. I think he's put in the work. And I think that whenever they have called on Clint Frazier to actually come up and contribute, he's not one of those guys that's like, well, I'm getting inconsistent plate appearances, so it's hard to just like come off the bench and then go in there and make an impact right away. Like, I need a little time to get my feet wet and get comfortable. Like, he's never made those excuses. And any time that he's been called on, he's actually performed. Like, they snap their fingers. Hey, Clint, someone's hurt. Get in there and go out there and play and perform. And he's just done it. So I hope Clint Frazier is a guy that's here to stay, because he's earned it. And he's put up with a lot of bullshit with the Yankees organization in terms of like, you're up, you're down, you're up, you're down, you're on the team, you're off the team. Corey Kluber, I'm just curious, what's that going to look like? I think he's going to be pedestrian.
Well, him and Tyon both.
I think it's different. I think it's a different, like Tyon is still in his prime and he's coming back from getting clipped twice. I still think that Tyon is going to be a guy that, like you could, like, yes or no, in your opinion, have we seen the best of Jameson Tyon? Like, have we seen his best season already? Because I don't think we have.
Dude, so much of me wants to hope, and well, not so much of me, all of me wants to hope and believe that the worst is behind him, and he's going to have, like,
a... best division to try to have your
right,
best
to
season ever
to get back into, sure, but... I want to believe that with his mindset, his work ethic, and his surroundings now, that he's in just such a much more positive place from top to bottom that we're going to be able to unearth and experience and be treated to like another 2 to 3 years of really, really, really good baseball from him. I would love that. I would love that because he is, 29, 30 years old, and he has the biggest thing about surgeries and coming back from the injuries, Jared, are your body in total hasn't been used the way you've been used to using it. So as strong as you might be in some areas, you haven't stressed those areas. You haven't put the pressure on those areas in a while. And you're going to have to see how that all bounces back. So all things being equal, health intact, mindset what it is, the luxury of having a new location with positive vibes and energy around you. Yeah, I want Jameson Tyon's next 3 years to be some of the better that he's been able to give us because I know he feels like there's something in there that has been ready to be unlocked that he hasn't been able to give the baseball world.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Kluber, again, intriguing to me. Like that's, I want to see what he's got left in the tank after the last 2 years.
The biggest thing for the Yankees is health. Health, health, health. You can say that for any club. I think more so for the Yankees because they've just had so many issues regarding health from the rotation to the lineup, the guys being able to – I mean, Luke Voit led the fucking game in homers last year on a foot, on 1 foot. So give these guys a clean bill of health. Whether you like the Yankees or not, you should want to see this team fully healthy – playing baseball, because if so, that's good for the game. And it'd be great for Yankees fans. I know that.
Yeah. I mean, their rotation is just question mark central. Like Domingo Germán has been throwing better in spring training, but fuck him. Jordan Montgomery, eh. Tyon, you don't know what to expect. Kluber, you don't know what to expect. And then you have Gerrit Cole. So it's like, how important is Gerrit Cole to this team? I mean, if Gerrit Cole, knock on wood, if he goes down, I mean, the wheels can fall off real quick for like the wheels could fall off on their entire season pretty fucking quick if Gerrit Cole's not going every fifth day and giving you 200 plus innings.
Nope. You're going to need some more stallions in that stable if that's the case, right?
Yeah.
And Krabba, speaking of stable, I don't know if you dabble or not.
My dad is a huge horse race guy.
Big pony guy?
Yeah. Loves it. Loves it.
Sport of kings, Krabba, the sport of kings. And as we know, baseball has, you know, for the most part, been America's pastime. A close second, they say, is horse racing. Let me tell you, folks, we have got the best way for you to get involved and get in on all the pony action. So saddle up. Stable Duel brings a new way to play the ponies with lower risk and bigger payouts. It's very similar to fantasy football. Dallas, how can that be possible? They got fucking players, team. Like, how? Listen, you select your stable, your team, right? Your stable of ponies. You got 10 horses, and you can watch your points rack up all day long. Just like a PPR, you're watching. You're following along in real time. Daily games, huge cash prizes. This it's super easy to use, even if you're new to horse racing, which I know folks could be threatened by, like, oh, I'm not able to hang around the paddock. I don't know who's taking a shit right before the gates open. I don't know how. It's easy, all right? It's putting you at the track right now, but not just pigeonhole into one race. No, you get it all. You get it all. That's the part about making it easy. With the flexibility in the gambling world today, you've got options. StableDuel just wants to remind you that the sport of kings is at your fingertips as well. So go download the StableDuel app right now. Start playing right out of the gate. Very easy. Low buy-ins, big payoffs, play against your homies, play against other kings who are running their ponies. But the bottom line is you do not have to be the little Shetland pony off to the side watching all those sexy beasts run wild on the StableDuel app. You can race with them too.
Hell yeah. Dallas, you want to go to LSU with me? Can you go to LSU with me?
I don't have any more college eligibility, Jared.
Okay. I think I'm going to go to LSU. I'd love for if you came.
When are you going to LSU? Is this are you making an announcement right now?
Yeah.
Are you making an announcement? Is this the announcement we've been waiting for? Because I told you.
No. This is not I'm not picking my school yet.
Okay, all right. I was going to say, I thought we had a plan for that. We're doing big reveal.
I'm visiting yes. LSU on a recruit trip.
Okay. Recruiting trip number one here.
Because they're playing Arkansas.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's the last
weekend of April.
That's dangerous.
Why?
That's dangerous for LSU because typically you don't like to plan things like that. Like you do when you don't. If they're confident in their club, then yeah, bring them on out for that series against potentially the best team in the nation.
They are the best team in the nation.
You can see how we stack up. Mm-hmm. Most programs like to leave you with a positive taste.
Well, I picked that weekend. It wasn't like, hey, do you want to come out for this weekend? I was like, hey, I see a 3-game set at the box, and it's Arkansas, so I'll be there. I want you to come.
Because what they would know is the winner or loser of that is basically where the allegiance is going to land.
It should be the Carrabba's Cup. Like whoever wins that series gets my fandom.
Yeah, that's exactly what's panning out there. I see you working. Look, I am all over you. I am all over. You're going there, mm-hmm. and you might even get on the airplane wearing a shirt of the winning team. I don't know. I feel like you have that in you.
Yeah. So from what I understand, there's an airport in Baton Rouge that only so many airports. I think I'd have to fly to Atlanta and then
operator, what you put me on through? I got to send my love down to Baton Rouge.
Yeah. So I'd like for you to come. I want you to be there for, you know, obviously as someone who's played college baseball, I need your expert advice. You're my advisor under these circumstances. And
maybe we arrive to the box the way one Brian Wilson did for game day at LSU via a helicopter in full uni.
Yeah, he would do that. But yeah, we'll see what happens.
You're going to be able to take your meals with us?
Yeah, I think we probably are going to have to pack like 3 or 4 trifecta nutrition meals. I mean, it's the best meal prep on earth. And
no
all
doubt.
The meal plans are created by chefs and nutritionalists to help people get into the best shape of their lives. And I don't know if you saw, Dallas, when I went back to the office on Monday, steroid accusations all over the place.
Really?
Yeah, steroid accusations all over the place. And I texted you while you were on your sabbatical to let you know.
I got that.
Yeah,
brought a smile to my face.
My workout routines are working. And so I do the Kirk Minahan show as well. And they didn't believe me that I did a 360-pound shoulder press. So I had to video it. And I was like, I'm not going to tweet it because it makes me happy to know that people don't believe that I can do it. So I'll let that just be a myth in the universe. But I showed them the video and they were like, I'll be damned. He motherfucker shoulder pressed 360 pounds.
Good for you.
By the way, that is for those at home, all the non-athletic regular people that listen to this podcast, that is 4 plates on each side. That is shoulder pressing 8 plates. Over your goddamn head. I can basically take.
So you have a Smith machine at your house?
I do. Yeah.
Gotcha.
But that's not where I work out.
No. Okay. That's fine.
I don't get it.
So, nothing to get. I'm just asking about a Smith machine.
Even if it was a Smith machine, which it's not, your average person can't press that.
Well, this is what I always say to the folks that are a little smaller than some of the average Americans is you don't have to push the weight as far, not as high, not as far away from your body. It's easy. It's easy. Mm-hmm. Lower lip. That's good to hear. Mm-hmm. Do you think that the nutrition that you're taking in has anything to do with that?
I think it has everything to do with it.
Because you're not
where you
spending
get your fuel from.
Well, you're not spending hours. Like I'm, thank God I'm no longer being hit up at all hours of the fucking day and night on, hey, how hot do I put this? Where do I, like, do I have to boil this for how long? Is it uncovered? What goes into this? You're off my fucking bill now. You are now trifecta's problem, but you're not a problem because trifecta has solved that problem for you.
I mean, I think the best part about like trifecta is that usually when people are thinking about meal prep, they're like, well, it's probably going to taste like shit. And like, I've seen like the videos on YouTube of people that do meal prep and it looks so dry and boring and bland and it's probably not going to taste as good. You don't have to worry about any of that with trifecta.
No, all your nutritional goals have already been planned out.
Yep.
You've already got a great game plan.
Mm-hmm.
Trifecta Nutrition, they just run the play. You call the play by ordering your food, getting all that stuff dialed in. Trifecta Nutrition, they execute the play. They throw that Hail Mary. They run down to the end zone, and they catch that sumbitch all themselves.
Yep.
They do all the heavy lifting, pun intended, if you will, all grub down and get down. It's gains galore, baby. It might as well be Trifecta Gains Nutrition.
Ooh! It's organic produce, gluten-free. Meat that is animal welfare level 5. That's the highest possible grade that you can get. Fully cooked food. No wasted time cooking or cleaning. Just heat and get healthy. It's meal prep that elite athletes use, like myself. Meal plans that can fit people's lifestyles, like vegan, paleo, keto, and more. It's more than just food. It's a nutrition program. Trifecta has an app to track your meals and your fitness, a community for Trifecta customers to support progress, and, of course, what you like the most about your Trifecta meals. So shop meal plans and get 40% off your meal prep with the promo code STARTING. So all you got to do right now, write this down, trifectanutrition.com/starting, and then you will get 40% off meal prep. Wow. 40% is a fucking deal.
So, and the text you sent me did say, confirmed, they work.
Yeah.
So I just want you to tell the people right now, Jared, have I ever steered you wrong?
Never once. Well,
No, that was your fault that you couldn't see straight and couldn't walk. That was, I had nothing to do with that. I let you make the choice. You decide.
I mean, I will defer to 420 in the year, the Lord's year of 2018 as a time you may have steered me wrong. Other than that, no.
That's what I'm here for. I'm here to make sure that you are right spiritually, that you are right mentally, that you are right physically.
Nutritionally.
So being able to hand you off to Trifecta has been a saving grace of mine.
Mm-hmm. So that's where we're at right now. I mean, that's honestly, it's 80% of the battle, maybe even higher, is getting the right nutrition.
I try to tell people you can't shit in your gas tank and expect to run a full clean race. You can't do it.
Can't do it. We're getting close to opening day, less than 2 weeks away now. So I'm getting excited. Things are about to change drastically for us as baseball ramps up. We're going to be going back to 2 podcasts a week for starting 9 once baseball season starts. We have a new show called Stay Hot or Not that is a video show that Dallas and I will be doing, which is basically the video version of Show 'Em Some Love, which is the podcast segment here that has become popular over the last year or so. But instead of, I mean, usually Show 'Em Some Love, we go over some statistics for players that have been performing well that maybe haven't been getting enough love. This one, we're going to tell you a player or players that have been doing the same thing or players that need to fucking pick it up. So that can help you out with fantasy baseball. Maybe it's just players on your team that you want to get some recognition on a big platform. So we got Stay Hot or Not. More Are You Smarter Than a Big Leaguer? Morning Wood will be coming back. I believe we're doing that 3 times a week this year. And then I feel, are we missing a show? Is there another show that we're doing?
No, we will also have, I'll be doing On This Date in Baseball.
Oh, yeah.
As well.
Timey shit.
We're going to have some fun with that because all kind of crazy shit has happened in this game of baseball on this day, on that day. And it might not be about huge momentous achievements. It could be fun loving stuff, which is probably where I'm aiming to go with that. Because the game provides outstanding moments and achievements day in and day out. I think it's our job to remember some of the fun things that have happened in our game. So we will have a full buffet, a smorgasbord of baseball content for you to wrap your lips all the way around.
I love that. All right. We'll be back next week at our normal day, which is Tuesday. This week was sabbatical week, so you get a podcast on a Friday. So enjoy this. Listen on your weekend. We'll be back next Tuesday, same time, same place. You stay hot.
It's been fun from Murder Mountain.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.